Mr. Gormley, reel three. You were 17 and a half years of age, I think you said, when you joined the Territorials. What caused you to do that?
Well, I don't know. I've always had a military background within the family, you know. And I'll join the Territorials. So I jumped on my bike and I cycled up to Stockton on Tees, which was the nearest gym hall at the time. And I went in and I signed up with the Durham's. So,
When you say you signed up, what exactly was the process of joining?
Well, you just went in, told me then, how old were you, know, and of course, naturally, you told them, and we can accept you at that age, like, you know, because by the time your basic training's done, you'll be qualified for full army service, like, you know. So, I started away on the training, and I'd only been in about a fortnight, I think. I'd just more or less got used to the uniform, and we went on a weekend camp at Stockton Racecourse.
Before we come to that, you joined, as you say. Did you have to give an oath to the king or, you know, in the country when you joined?
Oh, yes. Well, of course. I'm just... also, they took that accepted, like, you had to swear allegiance to the king and country. You know?
What did your parents, your father, think of you joining the forces?
Well, he was quite happy about me joining the DLI, you know, but he was unhappy that I hadn't joined the Gunners in the first instance. That was the topic, because he'd been a Gunner, and his father had also been a Gunner, and he was very unhappy about me joining the DLI, you see.
You said that the ICI encouraged you to do these kind of things.
Oh, yes. The encouragement, if it was needed, it came in the manner of that you went on camp or wherever you went to with the DLI and the TA, but if you were going away for a week's seminar, more or less, they paid your wages for you, and you also got your army pay. So you were well in, you know, or in those days you were really well in, like, you were getting two weeks pay for 1 week, like, you know.
You were on your own, you didn't have any friends with you joining at the same time.
Oh, no, there was a friend of mine had joined the artillery, about 3 months in front of me, I think, a fellow called Frankie Dalglish. Who was a great friend of mine, actually. We're great boxing friends as well, you know. Well, he was a weight higher than me. And he never ever forgave me because I was fighting with his name. I stopped him in the second round, and he was 2 weights heavier than me. He was a beautiful boxer, but he didn't realize he had a weak chin, you know. And I just stood waiting him over, so I was bang. I won one of them, and he never ever forgave me for that.
Which battalion of the Durhams were you joining?
5th Battalion. 5th Battalion, that was based in Stockton Drill Hall.
That was headquarters in Stockton Drill Hall?
In Stockton Drill Hall, yes. Stockton Drill Hall. The whole of the area recruited and came back there, the 5th Battalion down there in Stockton Drill Hall.
And that was Darlington area, Stockton, as you say, area of the county.
Well, outside that area, I think the nearest one of them was about Durham somewhere, you know. There was some in Durham, some in Berkeley.
Different battalions, yeah.
Different battalions, like, you know, there's the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th. Yeah. They're all different battalions, all different, like, basically Bishop Auckland and places like that, you know. All out with the area. But Stockton, of course, that was my natural habitat.
What date was this?
Early... late... 34 or early 35. I'll have it somewhere. I've got a book somewhere now. I've never thought of looking it up. But I did about 7 months altogether. In the
did you get a uniform straight away when you joined?
Within a couple of days.
And what did they give you?
Give me the khaki trousers, the old khaki trousers with the short putties, short putties on, and you had your shirt and everything, shirt, cap, and everything like that. Everything that was required as a soldier at war.
The First World War type uniform at that point?
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
It wasn't the new battle dress?
It wasn't the new battle dress, no. That was the old blue button-up tunic and everything, you know. You talk it up with your...
Putties, how did you put those on and how did you work them?
Well, for the infantry putty, which is distinct as from the artillery putty, which is later in the program, but the infantry putty was just a short wind around here of about four straps. And so you wound it round and round and round, and you showed about 4 inches above the boot top. Then your trousers went down over the top to form a ridge.
And this was the short putties, not the old long ones up to the up the calf.
Oh no, they were the long, they were the artillery putties. You know, right up the knee length, you know.
And you'd have the heavy ammunition boots, did you?
Oh yes, never had any other boots. Not in our day. I mean, everybody had the same boots. They had the same boots. You had to get them broken to suit your feet and everything. And
what was the first drills that they taught you?
The first drill was given was the rifle drill. How to sling a rifle about. And he did that before he ever started any marching drill. They taught you how to use a rifle. And of course, in the Durham, you carried it all at the trail. Everything was carried at the trail. I've got a lovely monologue about that, actually, which I often use in different parts.
What rifle were you given?
Lee Enfield, 303.
And that was your own tip, that was your own weapon. You didn't go in and just take any weapon. You were given.
No, you had that weapon all the time. And you had your own bayonet, which was a 21-inch bayonet at that time. You had the bayonet, you had the rifle, and all the appurtenances, all the gear. Oh yeah, full kit of gear. You know.
And that was ammunition pouches and.
Ammunition pouches, the side pouches, and everything. Oh yes, and the big pack on the back. When you got loaded up, you had about 56 pounds loaded on me.
So you said at the beginning it was rifle drill.
Well, we did the rifle drill in the drill hall, you see. And of course, there was plenty of room to do the marching drill as well, you see. But they started away at the old thing. Now, hi, I'm going to teach you all about the rifle. that's a bit of what I've written many years ago. This is what you were taught, the rifle drill, how to slope arms, present arms, do everything. And that was your first beginning. And then from there, you gravitated on, all in the same section, shall I say. You didn't just stand there and do a rifle drill, you know. You did that, and then once you mastered that way, then you'd have your little march around the hall, which was nothing, you know. I mean, it was just a ordinary size hall, you know. But it's amazing how you used to pick it up.
And the drills, did you... You were taught those to numbers?
One, two, three. That was the start. And it was very interesting, actually, you know, especially that I've never done anything like that before. Although I'd had a big practice more or less with the church lads with him, you know, I mean, I'd sorted that out, you know, and that was a big help to me, like when I joined the terriers, even, you know.
When you started your early marching, did they put you on to light infantry pace immediately, or did you build up to it?
Oh, you went straight on. Well, they were tempted to do it straight on, straight away, you know, but they used to take you out, they would take you out at night as well, you know. Oh, we often used to go at night and just voluntary drills. You know, they'd ask you, would you like to come up and, oh yes, and they would march you off round the back of Bloody Port or somewhere like that. And they'd be marching over there trying to build up the step up there, step and toe, like, you know. But of course, we were all young. It along like there, as long as you knew how to keep in step, you knew you could keep in step, and you just followed the fellow that was in front of you, and it didn't take all that long. I mean, you did when you come to doing the march past, as we did later on, but not at that particular time. You just squeezed my hands trying to keep up. Yes, I
You said you were trained in sections. Is that correct?
Platoon. Yeah.
Platoons.
Platoon, yeah.
Did your platoon have a number or a name? Or?
Well, yeah. They were all named, but it was all like numbers like A, B, C, D, etc. You know, A company, B company, C company, D company, you know, or D platoon, you know, whatever. They just wandered down in different. You had A company, C company, B company, then you had A company, B company. Platoon, you know, reduced to a platoon.
At Stockton Drill Hall, which companies were based in there? They wouldn't all be in there, were they?
No. There was only the actual A company. Yeah, there was A company built in there. Now, there was another company from Hartlepool and places like that, you know, from Teesside and in that surrounding area. They all became part of the.
They would be the B, C's and D companies.
Yeah, they would be A company, like, or B company or C company, which were outlying, you know. But A company was like the headquarters in Stockton.
And you were in A company?
I was in A company. And the funny thing is, many years later, I met a chap in Durham, who actually became, he was a bass player for me out of Durham for many years. I didn't know that at the time, but, and I looked at him and I thought, well, we looked at each other. And then we just stood and I said, your father was a PSI in the DLI. He said, yes, he was. And he sat, and he thought, and his name came to him. And all those years after, we got our names, and we knew exactly where we were. And I still meet him even now. And he's like, he's 80 on your own.
Who were the training instructors when you first got?
The PSI sergeant instructor.
What was PSI? What does that stand for?
PSI sergeant instructor. He was seconded from the regular army to deal with all the instructors, the instructing all the different company.
Do you remember his name? The first one that you had?
Horse. No, you never forget him.
What was he like?
Alfie Horse. Oh yes. A gentleman could be described in other words, like, you know, which he was, because he was dealing with a territorial army. But not having said that, they're very strict disciplinarian, as they all were in those days. I mean, there was none of this pussyfooting about in those days, you know. Oh, no, they're really set up. They give you one for you, step down the line. Oh, God.
Oh, corporals, were they there with you?
Yeah, you had the Lance Corporal and Corporals. Mine, having said that, you always had a Lance Corporal who was unpaid. That was his first step on the ladder. He was made up to be a Lance Corporal, but he was unpaid. He was unpaid for X number of weeks or months, depending on the circumstances. And then you had your corporal.
Do you remember the names of any of these?
There was one there, a lad from the middle of the Bert Fisher. No, he's another old fella that I met just by chance. And we were sitting at the Dems Gunners to over at the North Shields. And I walked in and I looked at him. And this is only about 7 years ago now. He's completely bedbound at the moment now, but then he was still and I looked at him and I said, by God, I said, I know your face. And he looked at me and he says, aye, he says, Durham's one of it. Here could be a, all these years after, you know, and I've been the artillery for years. And I said, I can really remember you, because he was an old soldier when I was a young soldier. I didn't tell you, he was an old soldier, he was an ex-Durham Light Infantry who'd come out and transferred himself into the TA, like, you know.
Some of these officers and NCOs, were they ex-World War, First World War?
Mainly. mainly they were
older men.
They were all older men at the time. Like, you know,
who was commanding your company at that time?
Oh, I couldn't give it. I didn't have a clue. I'll be honest. That is one thing. I'd had no dealings with gently or whatever they call themselves in those days, you know. I'd had no dealings with
you saw little of the very little of the officers.
Very little of them. I mean, I went to camp with them and everything later on, and you met them, and that was as far as you got. Because
do you remember who the battalion commander was? Do you remember his name?
No.
So that you.
I can tell you everything that happened in the artillery later on. Yeah. I can do that, no problem at all. But I cannot. I remember my sergeant major or the PS. I remember him. I remember various people that I've met and talked to since. And in fact, I was just talking to two or three of them.
The drill hall itself at Stockton. Do you remember what it looked like?
Oh, it was massive. Quite a size, you know. I mean, when I say a drill hall, I mean, it was a drill hall. I mean, well, I've been in many drill halls since, like, you know, but it was a typical drill hall, yeah. About, I'd say about 120 feet long or something like that.
A large hall?
Just one big large hall with a little off-shots.
Offices and so on.
Built on, that was just the main hall, right in there. And of course, there was always things going on. You with your Martin down this side of the hall, who'd been teaching their first aid in that side of the hall, you know. You just went all together and put.
Did it have a social club, a bar also in there?
Oh, there was a bar in, yes, yes.
For socialising?
Yeah. But unfortunately, I was banned from there, like, because I wasn't going. That's true. I was banned. You're not old enough to drink.
So they looked after you. If you weren't of age, they didn't allow you to do those things. They did look after you as a young man.
They looked after you.
How many times a week did you meet?
Well, as I say, we voluntarily, with quite a few of us, went up and did extra drills because we were dead keen, you know. Other than that, you would probably just go once a month even, or whenever you felt like it. But 9 times out of 10, everybody was so keen that very few ever missed a drill. Was that, you know?
Did you have to put in so many drills in this given space of time?
Yes, you had the. Now let me think now, how many drills did we used to have to do? I know you had to do X number of drills. You were bound that, you must do, fill that amount of drills in. Even if you did them all in a week, if you sat up away, but you had to get that amount of drills in, otherwise you're on the field straight away. Couldn't do anything about it, you know, like that was it. You hadn't done your doings, like you hadn't fulfilled your commitments. So you had to, well, I don't know, I can't remember whether I ever got punished. I can't remember being punished at all, like, because I was, as I say, I was always volunteering. Now that I was up there, the more I wanted to get on with it, like, you know.
It must have been quite hard for some. I mean, you were basically civilians. And this was just a hobby, you might say. This, you know.
Yes, yes.
So, how did you take to the strong military discipline when you were in the drill hall?
Well, I didn't find it difficult at all. I must admit, because I'd already gone through a similar type of training with the Church Lads Brigade. I'd also been in the Boys Brigade, which was self-disciplined. So, I had no trouble at all with discipline in that aspect. Like, none whatever. And
what about the language? Was it army language when you got there?
Of course it was. You might hear a bit later on if I get round to it. because let's face it, there was none of us any angels, not even in those days, you know. But so having said that, we didn't use the language that we used later, if you understand what I mean. The language which became common to us, you know, in the regular army, it was just like, God bless you. And it really more or less conveyed the same impression to you, you know, and it just came out. In fact, I'll give you an instance later on, and it'll tell you exactly.
So when you got your uniform, you were taught to weapon drill and then marching drill. Were route marches, did they come in pretty quickly to your training?
Yes. We would march from the drill hall. We would go at full speed down to the race course where we very often had, I think I did about 3 or 4 camps down there. Weekend camps.
Yes, we'll come to those. Yeah, we'll come to those. Yeah. The route march situation was it a gradual build up in distance? It didn't take you too far too early, if you.
You couldn't actually. But on retrospect, I mean, obviously, we couldn't have gone 10 miles, 12 miles. That was a start. You go 5 miles out and 5 miles back. You know, you'd have your little stops in between, but it was only a little 5 minutes. 5 minutes stop. That was all, and then carry on.
Was that every hour or something?
Every hour. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everyone. And you were marching at the basic pace of 160 paces to the minute.
Pretty demanding. At the end of a route march, were your feet examined by the NCOs, the instructors?
No, examined your own. You did all your own. You just picked them with a pretty needle and get the blisters out. But you said, yes, feet soon got hardened, don't they? Years after, I mean, we used to do 20, 30 miles and think nothing of it. We didn't actually do that.
Was gas training as part of your... this initial infantry training?
We had the old-fashioned type of gas mask with a big canister on the front. I just reminded me about it. In fact, I think it's not long since I... throw one out up there. we used to have a big canister on the front there, and they had this big goggle thing on. And the way they used to test you with that, they used to shove you in a room full of gas, which they already put the gas in, like, you know. And they would send you in with the gas mask on, and they'd say, right, now take your gas off and see how it protects you. And then it would make a double through the gas room with no gas mask. But I was probably in a harmless gas room. Yeah. But of course, it's pretty nice. It's stinging.
Like a tear gas.
But they did that and show you how much the gas mask protected you. That it wasn't just kidding, like when you put them, because if you went in without it on, you see, you wouldn't be able to get it on quick enough, right? But when you go in and you take it off while you're in, and it just drives it over you, that is gas that's in there. So when we say gas mask on, you get gas mask on.
Were you introduced to any other weapons in this early training?
Not in the early training, no. No, I didn't do it. I was basically an infantryman.
You didn't get the Lewis gun on? At that time.
The world of those guns, yeah.
But the brain wasn't out at that time.
The brain wasn't out at that time, no. It was mainly the old Lewis gun with a big round pan on the top, carrying 50 rounds in a gun.
But they didn't introduce you to that at this early stages?
No, I wasn't introduced to that. I don't think I stayed in it long enough. If I'd been in longer, I may have got on to the Lewis gun, but I definitely didn't do any Lewis gun training.
Did you get to any bayonet training?
Oh, yes.
What form did that take? How did they teach you that?
Teach you that? We sell a big bag of straw. Hung up on a kind of a gallows thing, you know. And they had you charging that. That's what it was, a big bag of straw. And they had to charge that. They showed you how to aim, take aim, fire, and that. And then you would charge this big bag of straw. And dig it in as deep as you could, like,
And were you encouraged to scream and yell as you charged the straw?
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, that was part of the tune. And of course, the language used to fly then and out, and you just very go, that's what you were talking about, you know.
You would be pretty fit as it was. Was there PT training also in this territorial unit?
No, to come in and even say that, I never had any PT training other than when I was acting in camp. When I was at camp, or at the weekends, we did PT training. But when we were in the drill hall, we just acted in drill. For all drill work, we never did PT. Can't remember it.
Was there a social side to the unit? I mean, we mentioned the bar, of course, but what other social activities and leisure activities did you do together?
Oh, well, I wasn't even interested because, as I say, I was boxing at the time as well, and mainly at nights I was either down in the gym boxing or I was out running, training for boxing and things like that.
So you had a pretty, your time was pretty well filled, your time.
Oh, yes. I was in the British Air Scouts, first Air Scouts that was ever originated in England.
And was this before you went into the Durhams?
Yeah.
We didn't cover that. What exactly was that? We may as well do it now since you mentioned it.
There was an airframe fitter. We didn't realise this. There was an airframe fitter. We're just young lads. I think we're still at school, just about leaving school, and this airframe fitter come on and asked if we'd like to become part of an air scout group. He was starting to form an air scout group, so we said, a couple of interested in anything. So we did, and what we did, and the way he taught us. We had a big church hall just down the backside of Mill Lane. There was a big church hall there, and we used to have this church hall. And we actually built a glider in there. And that was the way he taught us, for the Air Scout. And he built this glider in this big church hall, and we were all there, dead impressed. We were building the glider. Then he took it up to Rosebery Top, and he went in it and took it up the top. The three way get me in there. The three way get me in there. I had no fear of it all.
Did you get a uniform with this unit, or was it just
yeah.
You actually got a uniform as well?
Yeah, you had your own uniform, like a grey jacket, actually. Because we're only wearing short trousers. Yes, I remember now, because we only had, of course, everybody wore short trousers in those days until they got 14 and that thing. We had this little short jacket with a kind of Air Force blue, with more grey blue than the Air Force blue, like a grey blue, and a nice little tunic.
A cap?
Oh yes, had a Glengarry cap actually.
And did that have the RAF badge in it, or
No, didn't have any badge in it at all. It just had a little strip on where Air Scouts.
And you'd had to buy this uniform, had you, yourselves, or was it issued to you?
Oh, yes.
You had to buy it? And how long were you in this little unit?
I was in that for about 2 years. Which I don't know, they're active, how things come back to your mind, you forget about it, but you actually... We built this glider, and I can't remember the exact place, but it was a little church hall there. I bet it's still there. And we went in there, and that's where he held it there. And we actually built this glider, no problem at all.